Well, still point turning, the Catherine McGregor story is Sydney Theatre Company's moving, astounding in its revelation of inner turmoil and gender identity. It's so personal, yet so public. And every time I've seen Catherine McGregor speak on TV or etc., I've been riveted by her eloquence. And Heather Mitchell is just so terrific and funny and charismatic as this real persona on stage. Well, we have Priscilla Jackman on the line to have a chat about Still Point Turning, the Catherine McGregor story. Priscilla Jackman, welcome to Stages.
Thanks, Regina. Yeah, I'm here.
Hi. So, do you want to start by just giving us a little, for the listeners, an insight into who Catherine McGregor is?
Sure. I mean, Catherine McGregor is a truly great Australian, I suppose. She is... just shortly after the time I met her, she was the highest ranking trans military officer in the world. She's a cricket commentator, she's a writer, she's a speechwriter, a journalist, a columnist, has been a political correspondent, and I guess in many ways is a bit of a soul sister as well.
Yeah.
She's become a very dear friend too.
She's wonderful. Every time I've seen her talk on TV, she's just so eloquent and so riveting and witty and so such a great speaker.
Extraordinary. The brain, the big brain.
Totally.
The big heart.
Was inspired after seeing the show, actually. I felt like I expected more of myself as a consequence of her. But anyway, you have written this from interviews with her, taking her personal story. Where did you start in those interviews, and how did you go about, you know, recording them? I know you've worked with someone else in that
to some degree. It's an interesting story, actually, yeah. My friend Melanie Tate is a mutual friend of ours. So Mel's a ABC presenter, radio presenter and journalist, and she'd known Kate for several years, originally in Canberra, and then Mel now lives in Hobart.
Mm.
And I travelled to Hobart, and it just happened, bizarrely, that... Kate was down doing the cricket commentary for the West Indies Ashes or the Test Series on the few nights that I happened to be with Mel. And Mel lives literally a few doors down from the Bellerive Cricket Oval. So we just went off to dinner together as kind of mates. And Kate started to talk about her story. And I was absolutely riveted, as you know, we all are. Not only the extraordinary breadth of and depth of the courage and the struggle, but also just her faculty for language and storytelling. I mean, there's a lot of breathtaking to do when you sit around with Kate, because it's kind of astonishing to be in her company in many ways. And I walked away from that table, like you're saying, I was slightly changed. And it wasn't just to do with my admiration of her own journey, but I was deeply connected in a way with my own journey that resonated on various levels with hers. And obviously a lot of the content is different, but there was something, I guess, universal in it that I could see.
Absolutely.
And so it took me a few days to pluck up the courage, but I connected with her again. I called her and asked her if she would be interested in collaborating creatively on a pitch that I was giving to Sydney Theatre Company.
Yeah.
Sydney Theatre Company has a program called Rough Drafts, which is one of the only developmental programs on main stages in the country.
It's
the
wonderful. Kids, yeah, you get a week to workshop
something. You would know from Nick as well. So you get a week with actors and you just get to test out an idea. They're not interested in plays that are already written. They want the nucleus of a new work. And so she said yes, which was wonderful, that she would be prepared to talk to me again about her story.
Yeah,
it took several months for us to get back together, but then the next time I did, I was sure to press record.
Yeah.
And so then I had and that took, you know, we spent hours and hours actually talking about her story. And so from those transcripts of extraordinary raw data, I started to create a theatrical piece. And
How was it for you? It must have been challenging to find, I mean, I imagine she would be quite generous, but the so personal a story, you must be frightening to kind of ask some of the questions that you wanted to ask to help tell the story. What was the most, you know, how did you work around that yourself personally? You know?
Yeah, it's a great question. Initially, in the very first set of interviews, my dear friend Mel, who I mentioned as our mutual friend, was there, and Mel's a journalist. So she, and also she had a relationship with Kate.
Of course.
So she, in some ways, got the ball rolling, I suppose, to ask questions that we wouldn't. Kate and I developed a very deep friendship then, for, you know, we still are, where for the next year and a half we talked very frequently.
Yeah.
And again, I would always press record. Just, I think one of the things about the show is that even though Kate has an extraordinarily polished public face, as many of us do, it's also about the private and the generosity of Kate to just continue to kind of disclose, I suppose, or talk to me very personally about her life. It became the real fibre of what the show is about. But to answer your question, I think ultimately I can't take credit for being able to ask the probing questions, because Kate McGregor is extraordinarily generous and extraordinarily willing to share her story. So
it's just
I don't think I was a special factor there. I think Kate would be generous with anyone who asked or was inquisitive around her journey. And again, that is part of her gift to us, and her leadership in a way to be as open as she is.
Well, you've done an amazing job at taking that onto the stage. Now, I imagine it quite a feat to get all of those, not just those first interviews, but all of them, and sculpt a show about it. Because you were going over how many years the story starts as her as a young boy, and then a man, and the father.
Look, it's a lifetime. So she's 62 now.
Yeah.
We start the story, I think we first see Kate as young Malcolm when he's 8.
And on through there. So what were some of the challenges, like in the rehearsal room, taking something that is sort of verbatim, like her text, and then going, how am I going to tell this story and theatricalize it?
One of the challenges for verbatim work is often that it can be quite, I've seen a lot of verbatim that's quite dry. Because often at the heart of verbatim is a social issue, even though that wasn't my driving force to interrogate the many social issues that are brought up by the play, or the politics of the play. Often there's a sacredness around telling someone's real life story. And sometimes that can lead to a lack of theatricality.
Yeah.
So,
well, you found it in there. So how was it working in the studio with you've got a chorus. So we've got Heather Mitchell playing. Her, and then wonderful ensemble.
A wonderful ensemble. So Nicholas Brown, Chantelle Jamison, Georgie Sims,
Andrew Guy,
and Ashley Lyons. Yeah, so we've got a chorus of five, total of six. It was absolutely wonderful. I mean, we only had 4 weeks, which is unusual for STC and unusual for a new Australian work.
In a way, we
were workshopping the work as much as we were realising it for the professional production that it's become. And we were testing the material in many ways. You know, when we set off on day one, I hadn't heard the script as it was read aloud until day one. So there was a huge leap of faith taken by everyone, and there was a huge heart ultimately. And Kate talks about the rich poetic heart of cricket, and there was a rich poetic heart beating loud and strong from our rehearsal room at STC. So everyone from the stage manager to the, you know, the scenic artists, to the, you know, obviously Michael Scott Mitchell, our extraordinary set designer, you know, and of course the cast, everyone was invested in us making the best show we possibly could. And it was extremely stretching to all of us. It's fair to say that it took a huge commitment and investment in the work and a leap of faith for everyone. But that's, you know, that's what happens with, you know, all new work in theatre. And
you're dealing
with a very special team.
Issues like gender dysphoria, like her struggle with her identity and gender and being understood. There's so many moving moments in there. And so you have, I'm just trying to give it, the audience and listeners an idea. So then the ensembles, they're playing like, you know, Nicholas plays Raoul Dravid and so many other characters, as young Malcolms and other people playing
I guess what's really interesting in terms of the dramaturgy, I think, is that even though we had five chorus or six ensemble. Actors, human bodies in the space, in actual fact, everyone is the voice of Catherine McGregor because you know, 90% of the material is from her interviews.
Yeah.
So a challenge is to turn interviews, which are sort of talking heads, into something that has a visuality and a richness of a sort of theatrical life force.
Mm.
And those other roles, like the dysphoria roles, etc. There's a level of communication that's operating on a symbolic and metaphorical level that's lyrical, and we're allowed to, theatre is a vehicle for that in a way that something like a film or a TV series often is more attached with the
to the real or something, real interpretation
of
it.
Nitty gritty of the of the literal, and in theatre we have a breath and a life force that allows us to operate on a series of other levels. Mm. So it was really important to me to have the courage theatrically to use my language to explore the story in a way that for me was that Kate had lived, with courage herself.
Mm.
But to meet that as an artist in and offer the sort of, I learnt this wonderful thing in Germany once in Berlin that said that great theatre is not about 1 + 1 = 2, it's about 1 + 1 = 3, and so it's about
the magic
extra level,
the magic
that we can, but that has to be deeply tied to the integrity of the experience of what Kate was talking about, because on many levels, it's still about the truth and the respect for the authenticity of what the story is, but it's just an exploration of how we can communicate that in different ways.
Yeah. What do you think it is at the core of the story for?
What was the question?
What do you think is at the core? I think for me,
the core of
it was about the need for understanding. She needed she was changed by the Raoul Dravid, like the words of him, but what I felt at the core was the need to be understood and to have someone else, the experience of someone else understanding what you're going through.
Mm-hmm. There's something about empathy, isn't there?
Yeah.
For me, to answer your question about what is at the core, for me, ultimately, this is a story of tremendous struggle and tremendous courage, but it's not just about... to thy own self be true. Ultimately, it's a story about having the courage to live authentically.
Yes, totally.
On another level, the play also offers provocations into what the cost of that is.
Yeah.
It's all well and good to say be truthful, but actually, there's a huge cost there as well. And so, for me, it is about all those things. It's also about allowing the audience to sit with themselves, like I did that day I met Kate across the table, and reflect on our own lives, understand a little bit more, empathize a little bit more. Like you're saying, for me, I learnt a lot more about cricket and certainly the trans experience and
totally
etc. But also I learnt a little bit more about myself in watching Kate, and that's why I think it's a great Australian story, actually.
It's
the story of one, but it's actually the story of all of us.
Of all of us, totally. Yeah. Well, Priscilla Jackman, thank you so much and congratulations. It's just wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Regina. All right. Thanks for making the time and all the best.
Thank you. Priscilla Jackman there, the director and writer of the work Still Point Turning, the Catherine McGregor story at the Sydney Theatre Company. It's just wonderful.